and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. What's a government worker to do after Elon Musk extended his midnight deadline to come up with a list of five accomplishments to keep their jobs? They're getting mixed messages from the administration. CBS's Kristen Brown.
Federal employees don't know what to do about this email. They were told that they had to respond, then they were told that they didn't have to respond, and now they're seemingly being told that they should have responded or that they might have to send a second email.
President Trump met with French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House to talk about ending the war in Ukraine.
And I've spoken with both President Putin and President Zelensky. And again, a lot of good things toward peace are happening, moving it, I think, pretty quickly.
The U.S. is at odds with France and European allies who blame Russia for the war. Yesterday, the U.S. refused to condemn Vladimir Putin on three different U.N. resolutions. Vivek Ramaswamy, who said so long to President Trump's Department of Government Efficiency on day one, has a new career goal: to become governor of Ohio.
I will lead Ohio to be the top state in the country where patriots across America actually flock to instead of Florida and Texas. I will lead Ohio to be the state of excellence in America.
He launched his campaign in Cincinnati, promising work requirements for Medicaid and merit pay for public teachers. Terrifying moments on a Delta flight that had just taken off from Atlanta.
People started kind of saying, smoke, fire, kept saying it. We were still climbing up and it was getting worse.
The Boeing 717 to Columbia, South Carolina, returned to the airport and made an emergency landing. Passengers evacuated down exit slides. The incident comes just a week after a Delta jet flipped as it landed in Toronto. Last night at the Vatican, prayers in St. Peter's Square for Pope Francis, who's still hospitalized but hanging in there. Correspondent Chris Livesay from Rome.
The Vatican says Pope Francis's condition has slightly improved and the kidney problem discovered over the weekend is no longer a concern.
Clint Hill, the former Secret Service agent who jumped on the back of JFK's limousine after he was shot to protect First Lady Jackie Kennedy, has died. In 1975, Hill told CBS's 60 Minutes.
If I had reacted just a little bit quicker, I could have, I guess. And I'll live with that to my grave.
Clint Hill was 93. S&P futures are down 13. Dow futures off 43. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us on the next Midday Magazine in part one as we welcome the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and in part two, the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt chilling sitting. I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be sitting all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America: Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor, Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place. Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and a high near 43. Chance of rain and snow tonight, a low around 30. Could see some patchy fog. For Wednesday, chance of snow or rain, a high near 40 degrees. Wednesday night, clouds and 29. Thursday, mostly cloudy and 38.
Currently 33 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Superintendent Brittany Kinzer is endorsed by Moms for Liberty. What threats are posed to your kids' education by the candidate for the superintendency? We discuss with Dan Schaefer at 2:30.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Peach Wabba.
Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. A tropical, almost balmy day here in Wisconsin today. Coming up at 7:20, Chad Franker will be here. A local boy done good from Marinette, Wisconsin, who created a business called Meal with a Friend. It's a great community builder and helps combat loneliness. Chad will be here in studio in just a few minutes to talk about that. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite chip? It is International Tortilla Chip Day, but we expanded the topic to hopefully draw more exciting answers than just tortilla chips. So join us in your love of chips. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always, you can comment on anything we're talking about here tonight at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, my guest right now, we have a few more minutes with our guest, Mariah Gates. Her book is out tomorrow. It's called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words. You can buy it in bookstores, online. There will be signed copies available soon. That's exciting. Mariah, I wanted to ask you, you list a lot of the directors that you talk to in the book and that you write about. I have to admit, I haven't heard of many of them, but I've always been kind of just in awe of Kathryn Bigelow. She is such a phenomenal director, and she directs films that typically, or stereotypically, you might say, guys, it seems like, direct. They're Hurt Locker, Point Break. I didn't even know she did that in 1991. I think that was her first major Hollywood studio film. Zero Dark Thirty. I really liked the movie Detroit, and I didn't even realize she directed it until I was watching the credits. Where does she rank on your list of not just female directors, but directors? She's had a pretty incredible career.
Yeah, I think she has definitely been an influence. A lot of the people I've interviewed, not for the book, but for my column, have cited her as one of the reasons they knew women could make films, or an example of the kind of films they would like to do and didn't necessarily think they could, but they saw her do it. And so they're like, okay, I can do this too. So I think she's definitely been an important figure in terms of visibility of women directing films and of women directing films that make a really big wave. Obviously, she was the first woman to win Best Director at the Oscars. And since then, there have been several and a lot more women nominated. I think she was only the fifth to ever be nominated. So Jane Campion, who is in the book, was the first woman ever to be nominated twice for Best Director. I think it'll be really wonderful when that statistic changes and we have multiple women with multiple nominations the same way we do with men. So I think she definitely broke a really big glass ceiling with the Hurt Locker. Unfortunately, it seems like every once in a while they try to put a new glass ceiling up, but I don't think that that will be successful.
I want to ask you about the Oscars, but I want to ask you, who in your book, Cinema Her Way, who did you enjoy talking to the most?
Oh, I mean, it was Gillian Armstrong. Not to dismiss all the other women who are amazing, but Gillian Armstrong directed Little Women, which is my favorite movie and has been my favorite movie since I was 8 years old, which is 30 years. And it was, I can't even believe she said yes. I literally screamed. So, and she talked to me for 3 hours and she talked to me about the most minute things. She's like, you have seen this movie too many times. I'm like, yes, I have. Please answer my questions. So it was as wonderful as all the conversations were, it was really surreal to talk to the person who made a movie that I've, you know, loved like on a molecular level for 30 years, you know.
That's so great. All right. So we have a few minutes left. What are your thoughts? Do you have a best picture favorite in the Oscars? Did the SAG Awards do anything for you?
In a perfect world, I feel like Nicole Boy should have been nominated for every Oscar.
I wish
Joe Mofray had been nominated for his cinematography. I think Nicole Boy is head and shoulders above everything that came out, like literally everything that came out last year. However, of the ones that did get nominated, I do think Anora is probably going to sweep. I think mostly because The Brutalist is really long and I don't know that everyone's going to sit through the 3 hours or they're going to think it doesn't deserve to be 3 hours. Anora is nice and brisk. It does a lot of interesting things with tone. It really lands it. I think it's been winning so many. It won the DGA and the PGA. One surprise that I think might happen, especially because it won the SAG Ensemble, is because they, for Best Picture, they do a weighted ballot. I do think Conclave is going to be like a lot of people's number two or number three, and that could potentially make it the winner. That's what I think what happened with Spotlight about 10 years ago, where no one saw Spotlight winning. But I think what happened was it was probably a lot of people's number two, and that adds up. The weighted ballot is really, or the preferential ballot is really why you get a film like in the Spotlight year, Mad Max won, I think, like 6 Oscars, and then Spotlight won Best Picture because of the chaos of a preferential ballot. So I think you could see Conclave come out, but I think Anora is probably the safest, like, sweep.
So you think Anora is a safe bet. How did you feel about Anora?
I really love that Sean Baker is a filmmaker who was able to follow the old school path. His very first film premiered at Slamdance, which is the micro indie film festival. Mm-hmm. And then his most recent film won the Palme d'Or. And I don't know that that's a path any filmmaker gets to have anymore. I think because of the financing and economics of filmmaking has changed so much. So I think it's a real, I don't want to say like a career capper because he's a young man and is going to probably make another 40 years with the films, but he's put in 20 years of like consistently good work. And I think it would be a really great thing to see him really just sweep this year.
You know, it's so weird. Like I saw Anora when all the hype was around it. Florida Project, which I just saw about 3 months ago, is one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. I think it's a masterpiece. I like Tangerine. I liked Red Rocket. But Anora, I liked, but I don't think I liked it. Best Picture liked it because I don't know. It's just a weird thing. But then I noticed that Conclave, and I saw this statistic recently, the films that win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards, something like 26 of the last 30 years have won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that really has to do with two things. One, the last 15 years with the preferential ballot, and two, the fact that the actors make up the largest percentage of the Academy, the actors branch.
Okay.
And so the in terms of the how many actors are in SAG that are also part of the Academy, that number is a lot larger than, say, the number of directors who are in the DGA who are also Academy members. You know, so the correlation is a lot higher. And again, I do very much think Conclave is going to be probably some people's number one, but it's going to be on a lot of people's number two, number three. And I think that's going to add up because it's such a crowd pleasing film.
Right. It's so weird.
As far as I know, nobody hates it. Like some of these films people hate, right? And so it's going to be all at the bottom.
Yes. The substance.
Film, I don't know anyone who hates Conclave. I think everyone at minimum thinks it's a fun film.
I feel the same about
really helpful.
A Complete Unknown. Like I really liked it. I thought it was a really solid film. And I like Conclave, but I was talking to someone recently that said, well, the big twist at the end, I mean, come on, what are they doing? I'm like, that's what made it a great film for me. Yeah. Like, I just thought it was okay and well acted until that to me.
Yeah. And then it's very unexpected.
Yeah.
For how pulpy the rest of the film was. Yeah. And they pull it off.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, or The Brutalist yet because I live in kind of a remote area. But I probably will pay the $20 to watch Nickel Boys on my TV based on what you just said.
If you can at some point somehow see it in the theater, or listeners, if you haven't seen it and you want to see it in a theater, that one is such a special experience and so immersive. And truly innovative in a way that once you see it, you'll see what I mean. I don't think any other film in terms of artistry and innovation can touch that film. But obviously artistry and innovation isn't always what ends up being Oscar voters' favorite thing. You know, I think this is a beautiful film. And it's not, I think a lot of people maybe are afraid because the subject matter is heavy, but it's not a heavy film. It's a really beautiful, empathetic film that is about the persistence of joy and the persistence of just life. It's an extraordinary film.
I'm so excited to see it now. One other film I wanted to ask you about. Emilia Perez, 13 nominations. Did they totally lose it with the Twitter scandal? Are they done?
I think they did. Yeah. That's a film that was very divisive. I think not with older voters. I feel like a lot of older viewers really love the film. And I think a lot of younger viewers are more, I think, perhaps aware of the various ways that film is not, shall we say, as progressive as it seems. Mm. There's a lot of trans writers have written about why it's actually a regressive film.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Mexican writers have written about how it's really a terrible version of their country. It does them no favors. But I don't know that a lot of voters cared about any of that, you know, because they love the film and they don't care about criticism. And that's perfectly fine. That is... you know, they don't have to read criticism to enjoy a film. That's, you know, it's everyone's prerogative. I personally did not like that film.
I
did not understand. Specifically, the nomination that is the wildest to me is cinematography, because I think it's a garish film.
It's a weird looking film. Yeah.
It doesn't, I don't think visually it works. Whereas when you see Nickel Boys, I think you'll see what I mean about Joe Mofre, who did the cinematography. I think he is a poetic filmmaker and an emotional filmmaker and does something with the camera that is so unique. And he's won almost every other award. It's really weird. He got the American Society of Cinematographers Award. He got the Independent Spirit. It's, I think, the biggest snub that came out of the Oscar nomination thing. It's baffling that he didn't get that nomination. I think he'll probably get nominated for his next film, whatever that ends up being, because he's another consistently great innovative filmmaker. But I think maybe, I don't know about what's going on with the cinematography brand.
It'll be interesting to see what happens either way. The book is called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words by Mariah Gates. You can find it in bookstores tomorrow or online. I'm sure it will be just as outstanding as everything Mariah writes. So much fun having you on the show all the time. Good luck with the book.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk soon.
All right.
Mariah Gates. Coming up next, Chad Franker, a young man from Marinette, Wisconsin, a place I call my hood. He's got a great new business that helps combat loneliness. We're going to talk to Chad about that because I thought it was really inspiring. And we'll read your texts and all kinds of fun stuff. Who knows? Maybe Conrad will do a little soft shoe. Did you bring the cane and the hat?
I did not.
Oh, come on, man. You're killing me.
I forgot in my car.
Yeah, likely story.
I'll just have to run out there quick.
All right, we're coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for her love, and I love her, and I love her, I love her.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We have a great question tonight. It's International Tortilla Chip Day. Everything has a day. And we are putting the question out. What is your favorite chip? You don't have to limit it to a tortilla chip, folks. What is your favorite chip? Conrad's dad checked in. I love this. Oh, no, it wasn't your dad that said this. Although your dad said Taco Doritos. He says the Taco Doritos will always be dear to my heart. But my new favorite chip is made by UTZ, the crab chip with Chesapeake Bay crab seasoning. You can't just eat just one.
I'll attest to that. Those are really good.
I don't think I've ever heard of those.
Yeah, maybe it's just a Florida thing. I don't know. But I only saw it when I went down there to visit them once. And those things were good.
All right. Did I miss? pardon me. No, I got that one. Okay. So let's go to from the 608. Or I'm sorry, from the 818, Bridget says salted potato chips with ranch dip. Interesting. That's the first dip suggestion we've heard. You could just buy ranch chips, right? They have potato chips with ranch
flavor.
It's
not the same.
All right, fair enough.
Have you heard of any hummus?
Listen, dude, I love hummus.
Yeah.
That is the voice of my next guest. Chad Franker is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a really cool business Chad has created. He's about to launch it. What is your favorite chip, Chad?
Well, I would say something that has health consciousness.
See, all right, I admire that, but yeah, that's what I was going for too at first, and then I realized if I'm going to eat chips, I'm not thinking about health. I've seen you at the gym. I see how hard you work too, so I appreciate the health thing, but AJ from the 608 says, hey, Pete, if you can find them, Lil Baby's brand of wrap snacks are out of this world. His flavor is salt and... Is that supposed to be Lil Baby Ray's?
No, it's
Lil
Baby.
Baby. Okay. She says his, or AJ says his flavor is salt and vinegar, barbecue, onion, garlic, and more. Yes, all together in one chip. Now that sounds like a taste explosion in your mouth. and Kenneth chimed in on the film Green and Gold. So if you have an opinion on that film, I finally saw it last night. Did you see Green and Gold, Chad?
No.
Okay. Are you a Packer fan? Yeah. And you like farming? not to do for yourself, maybe, but just in general, it's a good thing. Chad doesn't really see the necessity for farming, so that's okay. All right, from the 608, Steady Eddie checking in. He says, Pete, Conrad, love chips, but we all know eating chips is not quite as bad as smoking cigarettes. The snack food manufacturers want you addicted. They don't care about your health. They want your money. Steady Eddie, come on. Big business wants our money. Get out of here. He says, that being said, chips are delicious, if not nutritious. I like nacho cheese Doritos the best. I have a strategy where I buy 2 1-ounce bags of chips when I shop at the grocery store. That way, when I get home, I can eat 2 whole bags of Doritos and not feel too guilty. It works for me. And then in all caps, sometimes, happy tortilla chip day. Steady, hold the cheese dip, Eddie. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's fun. Chips are fun. What's not to like about chips?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, exactly. All right. I'm going to bring in my next guest here. I'm excited because this guy is from my hometown and where I live right now, Marinette, Wisconsin. He made the drive to be here in the studio because he has a new business that he is launching called Meals with a Friend. And it's a great idea. I absolutely love this. Chad, tell us about Meals with a Friend and tell us when it'll be officially launched.
Well, Meals with a Friend is, we're in the early beginning stages where we trying to get volunteers lined up with people who are experiencing loneliness and isolation. And the pandemic was the first indicator of how loneliness and isolation can impact the cognitive health and the mental health and a whole slew of things.
Right.
Yes.
You really did your homework. I saw where you did all this research. And is what you learned about the pandemic what gave you the idea for this business?
Well, so retract that. I mean, so when I was 16 years old, I got hit by a truck and suffered a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So I've always known of the helping profession where all communities can help build and help aid someone to be better. And,
right.
Yes. And so, I mean, then I, when I was in school to get a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology and Human Development, I did an internship with the Hospice Advantage, and I was with hospice clients.
Okay.
And I sat with people that were near dead, that passed away. Mm. And I say that reluctantly because I loved it that the families respected me enough to sit with their loved ones.
Right.
But they allowed me to give that to them. So, and
you saw how much it impacted.
Yes.
And how that
could impact the love of the, how they didn't want to have the final idea of their loved one so bedridden. And
right. Yes. You talked about that too, and we'll get into this more after the news, but how community and people being there for you after your accident helped you heal and get to a place where you could create Meals with a Friend. Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that. Chad Franker is my guest. He is a fellow. He's from my hood. He's a fellow Marinette native. And don't let the fact that I remember hearing about that accident, but you should see this guy at the gym. I wish I worked half as hard or broke half the sweat you break because I see how hard you work. So we'll talk more with Chad about his new cool business called Meals with a Friend, a business that is just such a great idea to help others who are feeling lonely. We'll talk more about the nuts and bolts of the business and get to know Chad a little bit more after. Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The original midnight deadline for government workers to justify their positions or lose them has come and gone after Elon Musk said he'd give them another chance. CBS's Kristen Brown.
There's a lot of different ideas about what should be going on. So it's basically just mass confusion right now for all of these federal employees.
President Trump pushes for an end to the war in Ukraine.
It's in the best interest of the United States, the best interest in Europe, the best interest of Ukraine, and indeed the best interest of Russia to stop the killing now.
The U.S. voted against three U.N. resolutions condemning Russia for the invasion. The Vatican says Pope Francis slept well at the hospital last night after slight improvement with breathing problems and bronchitis. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
Doctors stress that Pope Francis is not out of the woods despite this encouraging news.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study? I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt sitting, I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be sitting all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Awards season is in the home stretch, with the Oscars less than a week away. The 2025 Screen Actors Guild Awards are in the books and could give us some hints for next week's Oscar broadcast. Timothée Chalamet and Demi Moore took home the awards for Best Male and Female Actor in a Leading Role in the Feature Film category. Conclave won the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actress went to Zoe Saldana for Amelia Perez. Kieran Culkin won Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actor for his role in A Real Pain. Outstanding Performance by a lead actor in a limited series went to Colin Farrell for his role in The Penguin, and Jessica Gunning won the same award for her role in Baby Reindeer. Switching to comedy, Jean Smart took home the Best Female Acting Award for Hacks, and Martin Short won in the same category for a male actor for Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders also won Best Ensemble in a Comedy. Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series went to Shogun. Not a huge surprise there. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and a high near 43. Chance of rain and snow tonight, a low around 30. Could see some patchy fog. For Wednesday, chance of snow or rain, a high near 40 degrees. Wednesday night, clouds and 29. Thursday, mostly cloudy and 38.
Currently 33 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, we had Mike Starr, the actor from Goodfellas and Dumb and Dumber schedule. Mike had to reschedule because he has a work commitment, which often happens with actors. You have to take the money when you get it. But Mike is awesome. I cannot wait to have him on the show. But in the meantime, we have more awesomeness filling in. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us from Minnesota over the stream. I always have fun with Kristen. She's definitely a Nightlight frequent flyer. And then mob expert and urban legend expert Bob Dennis will be here in the studio. So lots of fun guests coming up this week. Jamie McShane will be here from the show 1923. Rich Talarico from Key & Peele. And, of course, Bar Band Friday Night on Friday. So a fun week on Nightlight here. So great to have you with me, folks, wherever you're joining us from. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay, especially beautiful. Was it still warm out? Sort of?
Yes.
Getting a little colder? Okay. But a gorgeous night here in the state of Wisconsin. What better way to celebrate good weather than to sit inside and listen to the radio, folks, and talk about the things that make us happy, like movies and TV and a really cool new business that my current guest created. Chad Franker is here. He's a Marinette native. The business is called Meals with a I wrote it down. Oh, Meals with a Friend. Chad, I got lost because I wrote my note down here. It's a meal with a connection.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about Meals with a Friend in case people are just joining us.
Okay. Well, Meals with a Friend is where we pair volunteers with people who or families that are worried about their loved ones and they're just missing that connection piece because as the pandemic has shown, loneliness and isolation is the silent pandemic. No one really talks about it.
Interesting.
But it's like blaring in your eyes and people still don't talk about it. Like they don't talk about how depressed they are or sad they are.
And yeah.
All they need to do is just talk to someone and interact.
Right. And you have an interesting, in this package you have, you haven't quite launched the business yet, but you're getting close. You talk about how loneliness affects people's cardiovascular and neurological makeups.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit. That's fascinating.
Well, okay. So loneliness and isolation, they did a study. They did a study in the University of Michigan, and they did a 6-year longitudinal study where they showed that equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
How is that possible? That's insane.
Well, ask the researchers.
I know you didn't do the research.
No, but
that's amazing, though.
Yeah, and
so 15 just from loneliness. So here's what I think. This is so great, and this is why I wanted to have Chad on the show because there are so many lonely people out there that you don't know about because they're lonely.
Yeah,
they're not out there. They're not putting themselves out there. Let me ask you this though, Chad. I don't know if you thought about this. Like you pair people up together.
Yep.
What if they sit down and try to make a connection through a meal? It's called Meal with a Friend. Yep. What if a fist fight breaks out? Do you anticipate anything like that? Two people throwing down?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it almost happened between us, right?
Were you going to take a swing at me when you walked in here? I didn't realize.
Yeah, sure. So, but anyway.
You're still with someone though. It's still not loneliness. So
no,
that's good.
No, okay. But, and we try to pair because we're so new at this. I mean, we'll eventually create a website, website that people can log in and where they can actually say, hey, I want to have a meal with someone who plays, who's an outdoorsman or have a volunteer.
Like they have something in common.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
A common thread And the other service that we provide is like a wellness check. And a wellness check is something where like the person goes into their house and they just make sure that everything is kosher and they're not going to like do any trip hazards or anything that's going to be problematic in the future.
What was there something that gave you this idea, like something that you, like you obviously, is there something that put this on the map for you? Like you said, I have to do something about this. Like, yeah. When did you notice so many lonely people to the point where you thought this would be a good program?
Well, my TBI happened when I was 16 and.
Okay. Let's stop you right there. Okay. Let's talk about that. Cause that's the second time you brought that up. Yeah. I remember this because yeah. Chad and I have family friends, mutual family friends. You were a really good athlete in high school. You were mm-hmm. a good student. You come from in Marinette, there are a lot of Frankers are synonymous with being good athletes. And you were one of those. You had a traumatic brain injury when you were snowmobiling, correct? Yes. All right. So talk about that, how that affected you and changed your whole life.
Well, okay. So I was January 28th of 2004. I was hit by a truck and I was put into a drug-induced coma for 6 weeks and spent 120 days in the hospital.
Wow.
As an inpatient. But the battle doesn't end there. I went all, like, my whole high school career, I was still doing physical therapy, occupational therapy. And, I mean, to this very day, I still bust my butt every day doing
you
something.
Do.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I went to spin class today at the Y.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and
I just want to say, all right, I want to say, too, for those of you listening, I don't know Chad that well, but I see him around town. And I see him substitute teaching, and you went, like you said before, and you got your degree in psychology. Like, this did not, you're just tenacious. Like, yeah, you have a zest for life. Yes. I see how hard you work at the gym. And now, when I saw you in the grocery store and you told me about this new business, yeah, I thought, this is great. We have yeah. to talk about this. So have you, because of your accident, experienced loneliness? Did that change yes. your life, as
yes.
you said?
Because I have a physical disability on my left side. It's partially paralyzed. And when I say partially paralyzed, it's like I can move it, but I don't have fine dexterity movement.
Okay.
And so I'm still recovering, but
okay.
I mean, it's been 21 years. So being a popular kid and then like the whole stages of like that honeymoon phase of the accident, people were all wanting to interact with me and stuff. That was like my whole high school.
Mm.
And then when the day after graduation and all the parties ended, where was Chad's friends? They were nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so yeah, I went to college and still nothing happened. No. I mean, there have been a few. I mean, so don't get that. Don't misconstrue that idea. I mean,
okay.
I mean, like you said, Mike Corwin, he's fantastic and
yeah.
like unique people who see past my inability are people who help me help them.
Right.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
So I think that's great. So what you want to do, my guest, by the way, is Chad Franker. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's a great business that will provide wellness checks and emotional support to lonely people. He has dealt with loneliness in his own life and came away wanting to help others. And I think that's so great. He says loneliness affects people cardiovascularly and neurologically. People who are lonely enough, it can have the same effect, according to a study at University of Michigan, as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. How close are you to launching this? Does it take a lot of money to start a business like this, Chad?
I mean, with the lawyer fees and stuff, yes.
Because other insurance things, if you're going to go into someone's
yes,
home.
And LLC okay. and stuff. And
gotcha.
to get everything... Yeah, you have to get a lot of volunteers.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So, and you have to get a functional website.
Okay.
And I don't have either of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But I have like a makeup of that. Like,
okay.
So I have ideas in a start, but not like a functional website.
Okay.
Or
how are you? Do you have people helping? Like, are you business savvy? I'm not. I've tried to create businesses in the past. I haven't been very good at it. How are you in with those skills? You got a nice packet here. Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of great information. You obviously know what you're doing.
Well, I know I'm very resourceful. So I know, and I'm not lazy. So I know what to do. I know how to get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when do you think this will be up? And what if people, if they want to volunteer or if they want to help you get the business up and running, how can they find you?
Well, they can search on Facebook, Meals with a Friend.
Okay.
Meals with a Friend.
Meals with a Friend. Okay. Yes. On Facebook.
Yep.
It helps. You're hoping to build stronger communities.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And you're hoping to do it one meal at a time. I love that. And, breaking bread together is like the foundation of community in a lot of ways, right? You talk, it's social. So how can, if people wanted to volunteer, I assume when you go to people and you ask them for money or help or setting up the LLC or whatever it is, you want to tell them, hey, I've got so many people here. I've got 100 volunteers ready to do this. Mm-hmm. Is that something they can sign up for on Facebook?
Totally. Okay. And that's what I want to do with my, get a website, a functional website that can maintain that load and keep the data of like the clients and because we're dealing with humans.
Yeah.
So they have like everyone, they have wants and they have things that they don't want. And so keeping track of that all would be anyone who has like experience with that would be very helpful. Talking in.
Okay.
Yep.
So if I told you I expect this business to be operational in 3 months and we set a date for you to come back on the show and say, Pete, my business is a go.
Yes.
Thank you for cracking the whip.
Yep.
Not that you need it, but would that help? I mean, are there people in Marinette that are helping you with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like Tim Stouse and I meet with a philanthropist at a company that Mr. Tom Baraboo set me up with.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, I mean, there's
Tim Stouse has got a ton of money. We should encourage him just to give you a blank check, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So if he's listening.
Yeah, he should be. But I mean,
here's what we'll do. Conrad, let's do this. We can do our part. I think tomorrow night on the show, we do a question every night.
Yeah.
Maybe our question tomorrow night should be, what person would you want to have a meal with?
Yeah.
What lonely person in your life? Or even if you see someone on TV that you think is lonely, I think that could be a great, who have you done this? I assume you've done this on your own just to get it going. Have you met with other people who you could see are lonely, and how did that go over?
Well, I met with my, I met with clients and.
You seem like you didn't want to say someone's name because you didn't want to.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
that's totally HIPAA fine
and stuff. So,
sure, okay.
So, they love it. I mean,
nice.
I mean, they were born in the late like in the Depression and stuff.
Oh wow.
So they're not really aware of the of their. I don't know. I mean,
it's a different generation, right?
Different
like they're
generation.
Not going to ask for help. They're just going to sit there and be lonely as opposed to, because they associate that with toughness. Yeah,
they don't know how to help themselves.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's.
What if I go in to have dinner with a friend, a meal with a friend, and they just start yelling at me?
Well, then.
What do I do?
You
throw the mashed potatoes at them or
no,
what?
No, you can leave. I mean, this is all volunteer based.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we would, I mean, because hopefully both would be civil enough to realize that we are going to need something to do.
Right.
Yep.
I'm totally kidding anyway. You know I wouldn't do that. And sign me up. All right. We're going to be right back. We've got a couple more minutes. Chad's going to help us close the show down. We'll read some text. And we'll do that in just a couple minutes. It's so great to have you with me on this Monday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
again.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina Supreme Court declined to fast-track a challenge by a GOP Supreme Court candidate who lost in November by 734 votes. And super PACs backed by Elon Musk are pouring millions into Wisconsin's 2025 Supreme Court race. After two recounts, incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs led by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger, Judge Jefferson Griffin, claims as many as 65,000 of those voters were ineligible. February 17th, Griffin filed in appeals court, but the State Elections Board requested a fast track to the state Supreme Court. February 20th, that request was denied, and the case is likely to be heard later this year. The New York Times reported Elon Musk's America PAC is spending $1 million on GOP voter turnout for an April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Musk's Building America Future PAC has also booked another $1.5 million supporting former GOP State Attorney General Brad Schimmel. His opponent, Judge Susan Crawford, raised over $7.7 million so far, with outside spending via donations to the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The 2023 election of Justice Janet Prusiewicz resulted in fairer redistricting maps for the first time in over a decade. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back. Doesn't feel like a Monday, does it, Conrad?
I mean, yeah, it feels nice because it was warm outside, so it doesn't feel like a trapped Monday.
It's not as sucky as the usual Monday, yeah. I guess. Is
not a cold Monday.
I'm saying, exactly. Chad Franker is here. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's just a great idea to help combat loneliness, build community, do wellness checks, emotional support for people who need it. He has a website called Meals with a Friend on Facebook. Check that out. If you're interested in helping Chad in any way, being a volunteer, writing a blank check, whatever, find him on Facebook and reach out to him, because this is just a phenomenal idea. And we've set a date. We're going to do this. Probably in about 3 months, we'll have you back. And I will expect your business to be up and running and you to be the CEO.
Well, I'm already the CEO.
You're already the CEO. Yeah, and exactly. How is your, are you, like, you're such a social guy. Would you consider yourself a lonely person right now, Chad, or?
Well, before I started this business, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I did my normal routine. I saw people, like, working out and stuff, but I still felt lonely.
Yeah.
I went home to my apartment. Who was there to greet me? So that's what I'm. I feel like I'm helping combat.
Right.
Giving something for other people to look forward to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so amazing because, like, you come from a good family. You know, you're loved, and you have a family around you, extended and immediate. But still, you can't be around your family all the time, just like most people can't. And a lot of people probably are going home to an empty apartment. Or an empty house. So, and I'll say, even like, I knew who you were, but I didn't think you knew who I was. So, like, I'd see you at the gym and I'd nod if I saw you, but I didn't know if you even knew who I was. So, I didn't want to be that guy that just walks around saying hi to everybody when I probably should be, right? Yeah. Because you're okay. All right, Chad. So, what I do with most people who come on the show, I try to find out what they're watching. Where do you find entertainment? This is an entertainment based show. You said you don't watch a lot of TV.
Nope.
Movies? Do you ever watch movies?
Podcast.
Podcasts. Okay, what are you listening to?
Well, the Huberman Lab podcast.
What is it?
The Huberman Lab
podcast. Huberman Lab podcast. Yes. Who's that?
Andrew Huberman.
Right, and is here. It a comedy podcast?
No, it's all right here. So.
Oh, okay.
So,
what kind of topics does he tackle? How to enhance your immune system?
Yeah, and he's a doctor. And
dude, does that get boring after a while?
No, I mean, it does a little bit. But.
I mean, we all need a good immune system, but I would think after like an hour of that, you might want to.
And his episodes are like three hours long, and I just listen to him when I go down to Green Bay or on my drives.
Okay. How often do you come down here to Green Bay? You're not in school anymore, so.
No, but quite a bit because I'm for my doctors, and so, I mean, every couple of weeks.
Okay. So you were, as I mentioned earlier, you were a good athlete, and you played sports. Like a lot of kids in Marinette, you probably played like four sports in 1 year. Are you still a sports fan? Do you follow sports?
Yes. Okay. Hockey. For sure, because that was my best sport.
Really?
Yep. And side note, I was better than my brother. So there's a little caveat there.
And, your older brother?
Yep.
That's Ryan.
Yes.
Okay.
And
would he say the same thing?
No. It's a little feud that we have between each other, but
that's cute. Yeah.
And I mean, football, baseball, and hockey is what I played.
Okay. And you still follow sports? Like, are you a Packers, Bucks, Brewers, all those teams?
Yeah.
Badgers?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
What's your favorite team, would you say?
Probably Brewers.
Okay. So I'm going to give you, I just saw the movie Green and Gold about a guy who bets the farm. He literally bets his own farm that the Packers will win the Super Bowl and hopes that the bank will let him keep it because he doesn't have any more money. So I think you should check that out.
The Ice Bowl, right?
It was not the Ice Bowl. It was like in the 90s. It was when Favre was quarterback.
Okay.
So it's not that old, but. Okay. I think you should check it out when you come back on to talk about Meals with a Friend. We can talk about that movie because I know you're a Packer fan.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Yes. And I actually have a Brett Favre signed football.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I actually have, like, during my accident, I saw the inside Lambeau Stadium. Like
a tour?
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But like in deep from Red Batty. He was the Packers athletic trainer at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Was he helping you with through your injuries or whatever?
No, he.
Okay.
Because it was Mark Husen who was a trainer at there and stuff.
Is Mark Husen, isn't he the guy that's on with Mino and the mayor?
Yeah.
He was at the party the other day.
He was?
So do you know Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We should get Mark on the show, by the way. I don't think he liked me personally, but I'd still like to invite him on.
Sounds good.
He was really avoiding me at the party. Did you notice that?
It was that look you had in your face.
Chad, thank you so much for coming down. You drove all the way down here to be on the show. I really appreciate that. I wish you luck with this business. I think it's great. I think it's just a beautiful idea, and I hope you're incredibly successful with it.
Thank you very much, Pete.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right, that's Chad Franker. Check out Meals with a Friend on Facebook. You can sign up, volunteer to have meals with another person who might be lonely, or help Chad out business-wise if you have business skills or a blank check or whatever. But he's a great guy, and good luck with the business. I'd also like to thank Mariah Gates, who, go ahead. You got about 15 seconds.
I have a website, too, mealswithafriend.com.
Mealswithafriend.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a startup website. So, okay. I mean, it's in the process of getting going.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you want a picture of me for the website, Chad?
Always.
All right, very good. Thank you also for all your texts and all the talk about chips. You can't go wrong with that. Tomorrow night, it's Tuesday, but it won't feel like a Tuesday if you join us. I promise that. It's Peach Wobble with Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Don't take me a ton of time. Don't wave no goodbye.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There is mass confusion this morning over Elon Musk's order for government workers to justify their positions or lose them. The original deadline was last night. Then the Trump administration said federal employees could ignore it. Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper.
President Trump defends the Office of Personnel Management email, acknowledging it was Elon Musk's idea and saying it was needed.
Because a lot of people are not answering because they don't even exist.
EPA scientist Laureen Targos.
I think the implication is that we don't do any work and that we would have nothing to populate these five bullets with, which is insulting, disrespectful, and has no evidence to support it.
The House could vote on a budget plan this week. CBS's Nicole Killian says it could be a test of Republican unity around the president.
The measure includes additional spending for border security and defense and extends the president's tax cuts. But it also includes deep spending.